and then they apply to us for a guarantee. It makes it easier for a lender to make the loan, takes on the majority of the risk for the lender, and then the borrowers still get to use the lender of their choice. And it's a good opportunity for the rural lenders to get involved in the project.
I know you've talked about this a bit, but what kinds of projects can that money be used for?
Well, we've had a really diverse group funded this year. We've had a lot of the energy-efficient grain dryers, and these projects have actually saved a minimum of 30% energy from one year to the next, so they're great energy efficiency projects. One farmer was able to change the motor on his irrigation system from diesel to electric. We have one that was making his shop more energy efficient. And then another couple farmers got new barn fans for their dairy barns. So quite a few different projects, and that's just a few of the many things that we could do with the program.
And how much money is available in all? I mean, is there a set amount that's available? Not that they can borrow up to, because we can talk about that. We've already talked about that. But in total, how much money is available to your office or nationally, or do you have numbers on those issues?
Yeah, nationally, it more than doubled from last year. The new Farm Bill put in a mandatory $55 million in grant funding for fiscal year 09. So we're going to see some real increases in this program for the next 5 years.
And what kind of renewable energy portion of the program is there to help farmers?
The renewable energy portion can be used for on-farm wind turbines, anaerobic digesters, geothermal in the shop, corn and wood-burning furnaces, and those are just to name a few. There's a lot of different renewable systems they can also put in.
Yeah, so those are new things that they can do. How much money available on that side then?
On that side, the grants range from $2,500 to $500,000. And like the energy efficiency portion of the program, it's 25% of the project, and then the loan guarantees can cover the 50%, so up to 75% that we can fund on these. One thing to note with the wind turbines and any of these projects, it can't be used for residential purposes, so if they put a wind turbine in on the farm, it would have to be on a separate meter than what the house is.
Oh, interesting. So, and these wouldn't be for, these are for local wind turbines. They'd be much smaller, for instance, than what are put in on the big wind farms, I would think.
More than likely on the farm, but they can do a large turbine if they wanted to sell the energy back on the grid. So that is an option if they want to do, you know, one just on the farm. But typically we're going to see the smaller turbines.
Can you give me some other examples of what producers are borrowing, I guess, and taking these loans for?
Yeah, we had quite a few of these projects this year as well. We had Atkins Energy Ethanol Plant up in Lena that is going to take the corn oil from their ethanol process and make biodiesel. Adams Electric Co-op in Adams County is going to purchase one of the commercial-grade wind turbines, and that'll be used to generate electricity for their members. We had a small excavating business, a family-owned business that's installing a small wind turbine, 10 kW. And then another big renewable energy project we've done for a couple times is a farm up north, and they've done a couple of manure digesters.
When can people apply for these types of funding and loans?
We're anticipating early spring, but now is actually a really good time to start thinking about a project and to talk to our office about the application process. I cover the state of Illinois, so I can be a contact person for the application, and we're more than happy to work with them to get everything assembled.
You know, and I don't have it listed here in front of me, but Molly, where is your office? Are you here in Champaign County, or are you in Springfield?
We are in Champaign. We're right on the west side of town.
But you're covering the whole state.
Exactly.
And so what number are they going to call you at?
217-403-6210.
So it's 217-403-6210, 6210. And who are these available to, again, farmers and others? How do you define who can pick up these loans?
You're right. It's farmers and rural small businesses. So it has to be in rural areas, which is a town or city below 50,000. The farmers, if 50% or more of their income comes from farming operation, then they can apply as a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't meet that criteria, there's actually a possibility they could apply as a small business. So there's a couple options for farmers out there.
A small business loan. How about municipalities or villages?
Actually, they are not eligible for this program.
And then finally, did the Farm Bill do anything that affects rural development energy programs?
Yeah, actually, this went through a name change. This program, some of you may be familiar with the Section 9006 program. This changed to Section 9007, Rural Energy for America program. So that was the biggest change. And then, as I mentioned, the more than doubling the funding was a big change for this one.
And let's talk now about a different subject, and maybe we can talk about value-added producer programs. On hand with us is Matt Harris. He's there in your office as well. He's the lead specialist for the value-added producer program in the state. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having us, Todd.
Tell me what this grant program is.
The value-added producer grant program was started about 7 years ago, and the purpose of this program was to help farmers who are looking to take their commodity maybe to the next step rather than just selling it on the open market as regular, and looking to help them get like a little bit better return on their investment and capture more of the food and food processing dollar. So what we're looking at here is the most common use of funds is to take the ag commodity in its harvested state and change the physical, physical state of the commodity.
Right.
For example, if you had grapes, a grape farmer looking to take the grapes and produce them into wine, the different change of state adds value to the commodity there. And we can come in with two different types of grants under the value-added producer grant. One would be a planning grant. That would be if the organization is looking to get a feasibility study put together, maybe a business plan or a marketing plan put together. We can also help out with maybe some legal costs associated with incorporating the entity associated with the startup of the entity. If the entity already has a business plan and feasibility study completed, they can look at doing a working capital grant. What we can do with that is we can reimburse for costs such as labor, inventory, office equipment, marketing expenses rather than marketing studies, so radio ads, TV ads, billboards, anything like that. There's quite a few different costs we can help out just to sort of defray all of their expenses.
So what are the requirements for this program? Is it for farmers only? Are we talking small business again? I'm assuming that probably is the case.
It is for farmers. There's about four different categories of eligible entities here. You could be an independent producer, which encompasses just farmers as sole proprietors. You could have a limited liability company comprised of farmers. You could be a farmer or rancher cooperative. There's ag producer groups, which is your larger farm organizations such as Illinois Beef Association, Illinois Corn Growers Association, those that operate on behalf of producers. And there's also a category for majority-controlled producer-based business venture. That's when you have the outside non-farmer investors, but your farmers are still the main source of stock and ownership and decision-making for the business.
How can rural development help farmers get through this process?
The best thing to do would be to contact our office early, much like the energy program Molly oversees. We're looking at probably early spring for an announcement of this program. So it's a narrative application. Get in contact with us as soon as possible, and we'll kind of help you through the steps of writing it to make sure it's going to be competitive for funding this year.
You have some examples of things that have been done in the past. You talked about grapes and wine. What else?
Sure. That's actually a really popular use all across the United States. Another popular one across the U.S. is dairy producers taking their milk and producing it into cheese rather than just selling it to a large wholesaler. There are some eligible energy projects here. We've had a lot of farmer-owned ethanol plants and biodiesel plants looking for grant money to help out with feasibility or working capital costs. So there's a wide variety of different projects that can go into this program.
Matt, we'll talk with you more in just about 2 minutes. We're talking this afternoon during the Closing Mark Report, Harvest Hour Edition, with Molly Hammond. She's the lead specialist for energy programs. We heard her first and just finished up a portion of a discussion with Matt Harris. He's the lead specialist for value-added programs with USDA Rural Development. We'll continue that conversation in just 2 minutes right here on this radio station.
WILL programs are made possible by Community Concierge Magazine, telling Champaign-Urbana's story to new residents and old. Every issue includes an event calendar, attractions, and maps, as well as a business and shopping guide. Community Concierge Magazine is distributed 4 times a year throughout East Central Illinois.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast as prepared by our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. It's fairly simple for tonight, mostly clear. Cooler with patchy fog across the two states of Illinois and Indiana. Lows will range from 43 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 53 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, Ed says, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 70 in the far north to 78 in the far south. The extended forecast says dry weather should continue Friday through Monday, with the next chance of showers coming Monday night and Tuesday of next week. Warmer than average temp readings are expected late this week into early next week. Slightly cooler weather expected during the middle of next week, but that'll quickly be followed by more seasonably warm weather. A hard freeze is possible in the extreme northwestern portion of the Corn Belt, mostly in the Dakotas, on Monday morning of next week. The brunt of that cold air is then expected to move northeastward across northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, and upper Michigan, north of the Corn Belt. Thus, a killing freeze is not likely for most of the Corn Belt next week. The American GFS model has backed off on freezing cold for most of the northwestern Midwest next week, which is what we had suspected earlier in the week, says Ed. The coldest air expected to stay to the west and to the north of the Corn Belt for the duration of next week.
Support for today's broadcast is provided by World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods at 6th and University in Champaign. For over 15 years, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of cheeses, olive oil, balsamic vinegar, spices, chocolates, cookies, and more. Catering services are also available. World Harvest encourages you to join them in supporting public radio.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. It's a production of the University of Illinois on the Urbana-Champaign campus. This afternoon, we're talking with Molly Hammond. She's the lead specialist for energy programs at USDA Rural Development here in Champaign County and for the state of Illinois. Matt Harris is the lead specialist statewide for the value-added producer programs. When we left, we were talking about those with him. Let's continue that conversation now just a bit, Matt. Can those value-added programs be used for renewable energy projects?
They can on limited basis. I had mentioned some previous grantees we've had were ethanol plants or biodiesel plants that were farmer-owned and operated. That's not the only stipulation we have for renewable energy, though. You can also use this grant program for on-farm wind energy or on-farm renewable energy, such as a lot of the ones Molly mentioned, solar, geothermal, wind, hydroelectric, all that stuff. And we're a little bit more limited in what we can do with the funds, though. That would be on a planning grant side is what we could help them out with there. So we'd be looking at if a farmer wanted to put up a wind turbine on his property there, we could help him out with a wind feasibility study, you know, maybe a year's worth of wind studies there. And we can do some temporary measuring equipment, so a lot of times the anemometer is required for these year's worth of wind studies. We can possibly help them out there and hiring up consultants. But as for actually doing renewable energy projects, the actual bricks and mortar of it, that's kind of prohibited under this program.
So what you do is you'd use your programs or the value-added producer programs to develop those small business plans or to get some of the foundation, the footwork done ahead of time, the paperwork kind of things, and then look potentially at the energy programs to borrow from Molly, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay. And finally, again, we talked to Molly about contact information. Is yours the same as hers, 217-403-6210?
My extension is actually 6211. So
6211. There you go. So the numbers are for Molly Hammond, 217-403-6210. And if you want to talk to Matt Harris about the value-added programs, you can do that. It's 217-403-6211. I think they're in the room with you. Is one other person, Ron Ferkins, is with you this afternoon, too. Is that right? Hi, Ron.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Hey, Ron. What's your title there?
I'm the Director of Business Programs.
What does that mean?
That means Molly and Matt work for me.
Did they do a good job this afternoon?
I suspect they did.
Well, tell me about the Rural Development Program in general and what it is out of USDA.
Yeah, actually, our name, Rural Development, is very descriptive of the work that we do. Our general mission is to use our funding programs to improve the quality of life for citizens of rural Illinois. We've got three main programs. The first is business programs, which Matt and Molly have highlighted a couple of our programs in that area. The next is our community programs. In that, we can finance things like rural water systems, sewage treatment plants, or community facilities. And our largest program is our housing program, both single-family housing and multifamily. For fiscal year 2008, which we just completed, for all the programs combined, we were able to deliver $470 million of financial assistance to the citizens of Illinois.
Wow, that is a load of cash, and you delivered that. Can you tell me how much of that was in the housing, and how does that work?
The housing was about $360 million of that, and probably the largest chunk of that was the guaranteed single-family program.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to our energy guaranteed loans, that was where somebody who wanted to buy a home would go to a lender, they would underwrite the loan, and then apply to us for a guarantee. So it's really geared towards first-time homeowners.
But why is USDA and Rural Development interested in making sure that there are homeowners in rural America?
Well, as you know, with the housing crisis right now, first-time home buyers are really having a challenge getting financing to buy homes.
Right.
This is a way for the federal government to help those citizens buy their first home in rural America.
Obviously, it was used by a lot of folks, but I would think that there are several that, for the very first time, are hearing about this program across rural America. How do they apply? Do they just call USDA Rural Development?
Yeah, we have 12 area offices located throughout the state of Illinois. But if they want information on the program, they could call our main number here at our Champaign State office, which is 6200.
6200.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a 217-403-6200.
Yes.
Can they also hit a web page for information on this? Is there a Rural Development web page where they could find more information?
Yes there is. Do you remember offhand, Molly, what ours is?
It is. It's www.rurdev, so Rural Development shortened, .usda.gov/Illinois.
Okay, so if they want to go to it, it's www.rurdev, that's our rural, not quite rural, but R-U-R-D-E-V, rurdev.usda.gov/Illinois. Is there a particular section they're going to look for, or are all of them laid out pretty easily?
Each program will be, it'll be distinct, and actually it's IL, not Illinois.
Oh, that's correct.